Today on the Political Theory of Everything, I will be giving you your daily dose of news for today's date, Friday, December 24th. Well, Merry Christmas to you all. It is Christmas Eve. We are almost there to the big day. My family is currently downstairs watching TV, Hallmark movies to be specific, while I am up here saving the world through my podcast, just doing my very best, obviously, to help the world while, you know, they do nothing. It's tragic that they are watching Hallmark movies right now. I wonder how they will end, but we move on to our articles. The first one from Fox News, per usual, titled, Seven Unbelievable Headlines in 2021 That Were Not Satire. We start the article. News headlines in 2021 range from the ridiculous to the outrageous. Below are some of the best of the worst that a remarkable year had to offer. The candidates this year included controversial takes on President Biden, an economy battling both a high inflation rate and a supply chain crisis, the coronavirus, education, and even fatal tragedies. The list below captures a few of the more unpopular takes on these concurring events, as well as some accompanying reactions from startled readers. Some media observers would refer to these titles as, quote, not the Bee, end quote, in reference to the popular satire website, The Babylon Bee. First title. Oh, wow, this is interesting. Quote, or first title is, Inflation is Good for You. That's interesting. As the rise in inflation began affecting America's everyday lives this year, The Intercept told its readers that they should welcome it. Quote, that's because inflation is often good for most of us, but it's terrible for the kinds of people who own corporate news outlets. What? Or say founded coal firms. Quote, end quote, author John Schwartz wrote. He continued on, quote, and a panic about inflation usefully creates the conditions to weaken the power of working people, end quote. The Intercept's take turned out to be one of several more examples to come of the liberal media downplaying the economic crises. I was guessing that this article was going to end up being somewhat biased, but I was hoping, you know, just we're coming to the end of the year. Just why not read this as a, you know, a year-end summary. We continue. The next title, Maybe Christmas Shortages Are a Gift. Yahoo Finance senior columnist Rick Newman claimed inflation was a great time to consider embracing a less burdensome Christmas shopping experience. Quote, save money, time, and aggravation by exploiting the pandemic's shortages to slash your shopping burden, end quote, he wrote, advocating for a permanent partial Christmas. Quote, maybe partial Christmas is more like real Christmas than the excessive version. Gutsy parents have a chance to find out, end quote. Interesting, interesting article. We continue on. The next title, China Basks in COVID Vindication as Omicron Closes Borders. Bloomberg published a piece this month that claimed without satire that China was vindicated by Omicron, the latest recorded strain of the coronavirus. China's containment methods had worked because it did not appear to be as affected by Omicron as other nations, the piece argued. Quote, the emergence of a new virus, coronavirus variant, has provided some vindication for China's COVID zero approach, which has kept strict border controls in place since the start of the pandemic, end quote, according to authors. It continues on, quote, while other places pivot to living alongside the virus, China has prioritized weeding out every last infection, saying the health of the population is its main priority, and economic benefits will follow, end quote. Social media users accuse the outlet of parroting Chinese Communist Party talking points. Quote, 2 years into the pandemic and major media outlets are still willingly pushing CCP narratives, end quote, tweeted the Washington Examiner's Jerry Dunleavy. The next one, I think, is really just a serious downplay on a serious event. It's honestly sad. This title right here. Waukesha will hold a moment of silence today, marking 1 week since a car drove through a city Christmas parade, killing six people and injuring scores of others. The absolute downplay almost that comes out of that. Oh, a car drove through. Yeah, it was a car, not a person, you know. The car did it. A person didn't. A car did. CNN infuriated readers when it tweeted a headline that appeared to suggest an SUV drove itself into a crowd of people at a Wisconsin town's Christmas parade and killed six people. A more fitting headline, critics told the outlet, would have included the alleged culprit, a career criminal. Quote, "Well, how about that? Autonomous cars seem to be running amok." End quote, legal scholar and McCormick professor Robert P. George wrote, quote, resuming quote, "Evidently, one got it into its head to kill and maim a bunch of humans, so it drove through a Christmas parade, killing six people and injuring scores of others. We should punish that car to teach other cars a lesson." End quote. Quote, "A car did this, not a human being with the intent to kill and maim and being held on $5 million bails," end quote. California congressional candidate Buzz Patterson agreed, quote, "You guys are a joke," end quote. The headline now reads, "Waukesha held a moment of silence Sunday, 1 week after a man plowed a vehicle through a Christmas parade." So there you go, they changed it. So the Babylon Bee basically took that and ran. They absolutely loved the tweet that CNN put out. So they just started to create a bunch of stuff like this title: FBI to place all SUVs on terror watch list. So that was that's pretty good. The next title that Fox News brings up is "The media treats Biden as badly as or worse than Trump. Here's proof." So, Washington Post columnist Dana Milbank published what he called proof that President Biden has often received worse media coverage than former President Trump. He cited research from Forge.ia, a data analytics unit of the information company FiscalNote. The study used algorithms focused on adjectives and their placement in articles, more than 200,000 of them, to rate the coverage Biden received in the first 11 months of 2021 and the coverage Trump got in the first 11 months of 2020. Biden was often on the worst end of the stick when it came to press coverage in the last 4 months, the findings purported to find out. The study was referred to as sentiment analysis. The author used the study as proof that the media should engage in some soul searching before considering what they're telling their audiences. Quote, "What's actually interesting is you would think there'd be a corresponding effect. The left-wing media would be more favorable to Biden, but it doesn't actually happen. The left-wing media is tough on him. He's too progressive. He's not progressive enough," end quote. Milbank admitted he only somewhat trusted the study's findings, but he defended his reliance on the data, saying, quote, "It's better than having no numbers at all," end quote. The study's methodology came under withering criticism, with pollster Nate Silver calling it complete crap. Critics noted some stories in the study that didn't even address Biden, and that words like high and rise were correlated with positivity, creating a misleading picture when taking out of context. The next one, is math racist? Or the next title, is math racist? As many students of color struggle with the subject, schools are altering instruction, sometimes amid intense debate. USA Today provided an 11th-hour entry for 2021 on December 9th when it asked, "Is math racist?" The authors focused on bolder, quote, bolder recommendations to make math more inclusive, end quote. The author said, quote, "No, math is not racist. Major venues like USA Today, even..." Oh, sorry, not the authors. Portland State University professor Peter Boghossen wrote, quote, "No, math is not racist. Major venues like USA Today, even asking this question is a sign of cultural sickness. Racial disparities can be addressed in part by using the best evidence-based pedagogical practices that enable student learning. Please stop suggesting math is racist," end quote. Following backlash, the outlet changed the title to, "Is math education racist?" Debate rages over changes to how U.S. teaches the subject. Barry said the Babylon Bee's most engaging stories of the past years were about Biden's botched withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan. Most of the media appeared to agree, knocking the president for the foreign policy blunder, which left Afghanistan vulnerable to a Taliban takeover. Quote, "Trump sneaks back on Twitter by disguising himself as a Taliban person," end quote. That's a, sorry, not quote, title. Trump sneaks back on Twitter by disguising himself as a Taliban spokesperson, and CNN praises Taliban for wearing masks during attack, were two of the Bee's wildly popular examples. The latter was even subject to fact checks after it was widely shared by social media users. Yet the criticism of Biden's Afghanistan debacle, it turned out, wasn't unanimous. That's where the last one comes in. The media manufactured Biden's political fiasco in Afghanistan. New York Magazine's intelligence writer Eric Levitz credited Biden for overseeing an exit from the embattled country that came with the relatively little chaos and tragedy. He couldn't fathom why so many other outlets thought otherwise. Quote, in other words, Joe Biden's withdrawal from Afghanistan has been a disastrous and humiliating fiasco, in the words of the mainstream media's ostensibly objective foreign policy journalist. Yet this political fiasco is not a development that the media covered so much as one that it created, end quote, said Levitz. So there is that. I just thought that'd be fun to read. A less serious one. Just the way that you can see, though, the other reason I want to read it is you can see the bias that's trying to be pushed in the narrative that's trying to be pushed just in the titles, because a lot of people won't read articles nowadays. So what they'll do is read a title. And so if you read that title, a lot of people just create conclusions based off that alone, and you can see that they know that, so they create titles like that so that you come to your conclusion. Like a car drove through, oh, so he's innocent, it was an accident. It makes it sound accidental, and it leaves out the person who actually did it. But we just see multiple articles like that. But titles are huge to showing what that media outlet is trying to have as their narrative and what they're actually trying to show in the story and what their opinion on the story is. But we move on to CNN. This title is somewhat related to, or this article is somewhat related to previous conversation about effectivity of masks. But not only that, the efficacy of cloth masks. So here's a CNN article right here. Why you should upgrade your mask as the Omicron variant spreads. The article starts, as the highly contagious Omicron coronavirus variant continues to spread, some experts say it's past time to reconsider your face mask options, especially if you're still wearing the cloth variety. Quote, cloth masks are little more than facial decorations. There's no place for them in the light of Omicron, end quote, said CNN medical analyst Dr. Leanna Wen. So all of a sudden, cloth masks don't work. That's very interesting. She's an emergency physician and visiting professor of health policy and management at the George Washington University Milken Institute School of Public Health. She said that on CNN Newsroom Tuesday. Quote, this is what scientists and public health officials have been saying for months, many months, in fact, end quote, she said in a separate phone interview. Quote, we need to be wearing at least 3-ply surgical masks. End quote, which is basically a disposable mask, which can be found at most drugstores and other stores. Quote, you can wear a cloth mask on top of that, but do not just wear a cloth mask alone. End quote. Ideally, in crowded places, you should be wearing a KN95 or N95, which can be as inexpensive as a few dollars each. By having a better fit and certain materials such as polypropylene fibers acting as both mechanical and electrostatic barriers, these masks prevent tiny particles from entering your nose and mouth and must be fitted to your face to function properly. It continues on saying changing guidance, just talking about during the first several months of the pandemic, health experts discouraged the general public from buying N95 masks since medical professionals are facing a shortage of personal protection equipment, but it has been many months since supply of N95s has been issued. See, so that was like the idea of that it's I was always talking about is like this. It also is just to create comfort, you know, wearing these cloth masks. Because as they say here, it doesn't actually do anything. And CNN's saying that. The left is saying that. That they don't actually do anything. And yet here we are now, them saying, okay, now get N95 masks. Because even if anything does anything, then that would be what does something in the very least. But there's still debate over even those. So, it goes over talking about the cloth face mask allows for 75% of inward and outward leakage, and it basically says that it doesn't really actually block anything. It leaks almost everything in and out, so it doesn't do anything for you. But that the ones that fit perfectly to your face can help block off that leakage. And then it just talks about how you can go swap your mask out. But I just really want to say, you see CNN right there is showing that the, or telling you from the left that that cloth masks do not work for coronavirus. So this entire time they're saying you have to wear a face covering, in actuality, unless you had an N95 mask. But even then, unless you had an N95 mask, you didn't do anything. Or a surgical mask. You didn't do anything. And then there's those which it's debated in the science community how much those actually do outside of a clinical setting. But there you go on cloth masks. Not very surprising for most people that they don't actually do anything. But there you go. CNN said it finally. CNN has said it. And they've written about it. And it was on their main page, like their main page for their website. That was one of the big headlines there. So I'm shocked that was there, and I didn't have to search for it. But there it is from CNN. We move on to The Blaze in relation to CNN, a weird article or something that you just wouldn't expect to hear. But the title of this one, CNN religion commentator says the unvaccinated should not be attending Christmas services. CNN religion commentator Edward Beck, a Roman Catholic priest, said in an appearance on New Day Friday that unvaccinated Christians should not attend Christmas services. Most Christian denominations, including the Catholic Church, consider Christmas to be among the holiest holidays of the year, and Christmas Eve services are regularly among the most attended of the year. Beck, however, claimed that Jesus would not want Christians who are not vaccinated to participate in the holiday that was instituted to celebrate his birth. In the segment, host Jim Squido, I'm guessing that's how you say it, began the discussion by asking Beck how churches can get people to come back to services in light of the fact that more and more people are withdrawing into their homes. It continues. Unprompted, Beck turned the occasion into an opportunity to lecture the audience with a non-responsive answer that instead focused on the importance of keeping certain people out of worship services. Quote, I think what we're trying to say to people is that you have a social responsibility if you do gather. You know, Christian churches, many are gathering this evening, and some are still not requiring vaccination, which I disagree with. I think that part of caring for one another, you know, the dictum of Jesus, who we celebrate his birth, is love one another, show compassion, show mercy to each other. So I think the message is that if we want to act like Jesus in these kinds of times, we take care of each other, end quote. Beck did not offer any scripture that would have suggested that Jesus would have supported excluding people from worship who made healthcare decisions, but he did continue, quote, and if we are going to gather in celebration, we have to do so safely, comfortably, and we have to give one another that gift of peace, and part of that is health, and feeling like we're gathering in a healthy environment. So I really hope as people gather in celebration to celebrate the birth of Christ that we keep that in mind, you know? I don't think there's any reason to say, I'm not going to get vaccinated today. You know, maybe a health reason, but then you can't come to church or services with other people right now, end quote. Beck's comments were roundly condemned on Twitter with over 3,000 almost uniformly negative replies compared to over just 500 likes at the time of this reporting. I think that's wild, because imagine, like, you aren't able to take that vaccine. He's literally saying that you can't be like Jesus because you're not taking the vaccine. You don't love others. That's incredible for this priest to say. So we can obviously see his leanings. And I would say he shouldn't even be a priest at all. He didn't even offer, like they said, a Bible verse, like nothing at all to connect it back. Apparently, if you don't get a vaccine for COVID, even if you're allergic, you don't like Jesus. So, for any of you unvaccinated out there, it's impossible for you to be a Christian or Catholic. I don't know if he would say this extends to all Christians. I think he does in that quote. But I guess because they're considered separate. But that's mind-blowing that a priest, well, not really in today's age. You had the pastor who was a drag queen and then was surprised when his church didn't like that. Mind-blowing why the church wouldn't like that. It's almost like that stuff is against the Bible's teachings. But there you go. Should not be celebrating the holiday, even though we don't If I'm unvaccinated and you're vaccinated, I don't pose a risk to you because you are vaccinated, which means you have, if you have a higher chance of being safe from serious illness. And that's all that the vaccine does for you. It's not meant to stop the spread or stop you from getting it. It's to stop the serious illness that comes from it. And that's what almost all vaccines are meant to do, is to stop serious illness, not to stop spread or to stop transmission. And so you can see that we have the same viral loads in vaccinated and unvaccinated people, according to VCU Med and all people, UC Davis medical. Like all types of levels of medical fields are saying that. And I don't know how I pose a risk to someone else by not getting vaccinated, or how they pose a risk to me by not getting vaccinated if the other is vaccinated. Because the only person that would get hurt, if anyone, would be the unvaccinated person. But that logic never made sense to me. About, unvaccinated can't go in, you should only have vaccinated there. That just doesn't make any sense. That it doesn't to me, because that's their personal choice. If they want to take that risk, if they want to take the chance that, I'm not going to get vaccinated, so I'm going to take the chance against COVID rather than the chance against the vaccine, that's their choice. It doesn't affect a vaccinated person whatsoever for them to make that choice. But we see that here being pushed, that for some reason it does affect the vaccinated person by making that choice. So I'm not sure the logic there, but we continue on a very similar light, which is why I have more articles than usual today. We have a Daily Wire article. We'll have three today, but that's because they connect to other articles that we talk about. But this one is titled, quote, "Not this time," end quote. Fauci wants Americans to disinvite family members over vax status. Dr. Anthony Fauci claimed in a Tuesday interview that Americans should consider ousting the unvaccinated from their family holiday gatherings. Fauci joined guest host Alicia Menendez on MSNBC's The Beat to discuss the impact of the Omicron variant on potential holiday plans and what he believed people should be doing to make sure that they and their families stayed safe throughout the season. Quote, "If someone in your family isn't vaccinated, should you ask them not to show up?" End quote. Menendez put the question to Fauci bluntly. Quote, "Ah, yes, I would do that. I mean, I think we're dealing with a serious enough situation right now that there's an unvaccinated person, I would say, that if there's an unvaccinated person, I would say, I'm very sorry, but not this time. Maybe another time when this is all over," end quote. Oh, wow. Menendez began the interview by asking Fauci how concerned someone who was triple vaxxed, meaning fully vaccinated with an additional booster shot, should feel about the spread of the Omicron variant. And Fauci noted that while there would be some breakthrough infections, the level of antibodies in those who had received booster shots indicated that they should have a reasonable degree of protection against severe disease and hospitalizations. You can f quote, "You can feel reasonably comfortable that, all other things being equal, that you would not get seriously ill if you get infected. There will be breakthrough infections. This is an extraordinary virus that has an amazing capability to be transmitted from person to person. But with a double vaccination of an mRNA with a boost, the protection against serious illness is considerable," end quote. Fauci continued to tout the vaccine and argued that people should set politics aside when considering whether or not to get one of the available COVID-19 vaccines. Quote, "It's the best thing for you and your family, but also your societal responsibility to not allow yourself to be a vehicle for spread to someone else who might be very vulnerable," end quote. But once again, we see in the studies that we have a that va vaccinated versus unvaccinated, we all have a similar a viral load, which means that we have a very similar chance of passing on the virus to somebody else. And once again, you can look that up at UC Davis. That one's a really good one to read. Fauci made headlines earlier this week when he called for Fox News to fire host Jesse Waters on the spot. Waters, when speaking at a recent event, had suggested that people should ambush Fauci with a tough question about his role in supporting the type of dangerous gain-of-function research that many believe led to the initial outbreak of COVID-19 in China. Waters referred to such a question as a kill shot, prompting Fauci and others to suggest that Waters was promoting actual violence against him. Fox News issued a statement defending Waters, making it clear that the network was standing behind him. Greg Gutfeld, Waters' co-host on ratings juggernaut The Five, also defended him. Waters Waters responded by referring to Fauci as simply one of the clowns who thought funding dangerous experiments on that coronavirus at the Wuhan lab was a grand idea, end quote. But anyways, we see that there, he says, not this time, don't invite them. I wish I could do his voice, but I can't. But he says, not this time. Don't invite them to the party because they could spread to the vulnerable. But I just don't understand. Why is that? Shouldn't that be people's own choices, whether they want to risk that or not? I mean, why? I've never seen with any diseases us going to health officials to decide. I feel like it's always been a personal thing whether or not we want to take that risk. So why is this suddenly everything has to be a health professional it's saying whether or not we can do things nowadays? And I think that shows the power that they hold over the average American, and also just the power that the media wants them to hold over the average American as they ask these questions. I don't see why you can't invite an unvaccinated person poses zero risk to you. They pose as much risk to you as a vaccinated person would. Obviously, they pose a risk because, I mean, if they had COVID, then you could get it. But same with a vaccinated person. If they had COVID, you could get it. And same as you as a vaccinated person to an unvaccinated or to a vaccinated person. You also put them at risk. And to say that they have a higher risk of passing it on to you doesn't make any sense because, like I said, the viral loads are shown to be very, very similar in vaccinated and unvaccinated people. So the only thing a vaccine does is protect you, not others. And so it's an interesting thing for Fauci to say. And that's where all of this is in light of Omicron. And it's not to say that people don't get seriously ill with COVID or die from COVID. That's not at all what's trying to be said here. But it's that it's someone's own risk whether or not they get vaccinated against this disease. Because, once again, the vaccination does not affect others. If it did affect others, it'd be a different conversation. But the fact that the vaccine doesn't affect other people, why does it matter? Like, why does it matter for my neighbor that he gets vaccinated or she gets vaccinated? Because that doesn't affect me. The viral loads are the same. And that's the big issue that a lot of people are having right now. Is like, it doesn't actually protect anyone else. So why are you forcing me to do this? We continue with the title from another Daily Wire article. And this is why a lot of people are saying, okay, why can't we go back to being normal? So there's the two studies that I've already read to you. And now there's one more. Or another one, I should say, not one more. There's another one, and the Daily Wire just wrote an article on it. I thought it would just be easiest because I want to glaze over real fast. Almost the entirety of this article is the same as one we read yesterday. So I'm just going to read the first part of it, just because it has new data for us, and then I'm going to move on. Title: Majority of people who contract Omicron may never show symptoms, according to researchers. A new study says the Omicron variant could infect some 140 million Americans by March, which we talked about, but the majority of people who contract the variant might be asymptomatic. Quote, we are expecting an enormous surge in infections, so an enormous spread of Omicron, end quote, said Dr. Chris Murray, the director of the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington, according to USA Today. Quote, total infections in the U.S. we forecast are going to be about 40% of the U.S. having been infected so far, to having in the next 2 to 3 months, 60% of the U.S. getting infected with Omicron, end quote, he said. But the researchers at the Institute said that while the variant appears to be more contagious than the Delta variant, it does not appear to be as strong. They predict Omicron will lead to fewer deaths and hospitalizations. This is a more America-specific, so that's why numbers will be different from other studies. But, quote, Omicron's hospitalization rate is about 90 to 96% lower than Delta, which rampaged through much of the U.S. in August, end quote, the Daily Mail reported on Thursday. That's more up to 90% of those who contract the variant will never know they have Omicron, said the Mail. Quote, the majority will show no symptoms and have fewer hospitalizations and deaths compared to the previous surges, as Omicron is believed to be milder, end quote, said the UK paper. Or the UK paper reported. Sorry, it's not like the UK paper is what the name is. It's the Daily Mail. But it continues on. The Omicron variant of SARS-CoV-2 is milder than the Delta variant, according to a report from the British government, which will release the early data in the coming days. The UK Health security agency UKHSA, which operates much like the US CDC, found that those who contract Omicron are less likely to become severely ill compared to people who get the Delta variant, according to the data, reports Politico. So that's where we get into like that same data that they're talking about, like the Zoe COVID symptom study and all of those, which we read yesterday. So the article does share that information, but I just really quickly wanted to read those numbers to you. So once again, Omicron's hospitalization rate is about 90 to 96% lower than Delta. So why are we all sudden deciding that we need to shut down and do all of these things and do all of these, like, have all these worries when it doesn't seem to be almost anything? I mean, now it seems to be less than the flu. I mean, for the majority, 90% of those who contract the variant will never know they have it. I mean, when you have the flu, you have the flu. Now, if they mean that it's in your body, then that's like, okay, well, you also have E. coli in your body at all times. Like, you have these things in your body always. It just doesn't get to a number that actually matters. And so, is that what they're saying with this? That, I don't know. I'm assuming that what they mean is you have enough of it, but because it's such a low threat virus now, that it doesn't affect your body doesn't have a response to it because it doesn't need to, because it's not a threat, is what I'm assuming they're saying. But we move on. As I said, we're just going to glaze over that. We move on to CBS News and our next article title, which is completely unrelated from what we've been talking about, why many House Democrats are retiring or moving on before the next election. So the reason I chose this one is because I wanted to read from a left-leaning source about the left instead of, you know, choosing a right-leaning source, because they might twist it or try to pull out other reasons, not just the main reasons, but as both of them will have their bias and their narrative. But we continue on. Just this week, three House Democrats announced they won't seek re-election in 2022. New Jersey's Albio Cires, Florida's Stephanie Murray, and California's Lucille Royo-Billard. That makes 23 House Democrats who have announced they're retiring or running for another office next year, as the party braces for the possible loss of its already slim majority in the House in next year's midterm elections. By comparison, just 11 House Republicans have said they're not coming back after the 2020 term ends. Two members, Steve Stivers of Ohio and Devin Nunes of California, resigned right before the end of their term to take new jobs elsewhere. It bears noting that just because a majority party has the greater number of vacant seats going into an election, it is not always the case that it will have a bad year. For instance, there are 17 seats left open by House Democrats in 2010 compared to the 20 on the Republican side, but the Republican Tea Party wave and anti-tax small government movement flipped the chamber and added 63 new GOP seats. Republicans also had more open seats going into the 2020 elections, with 35 compared to 12 seats for Democrats. But the GOP still ended up flipping 15 seats, leaving Democrats with a single-digit majority. But in 1994, there were 31 Democrat seats and 21 Republican seats open. That year, Republicans won the House for the first time since 1952, running under Reagan-inspired Contract with America, a list of legislation they vowed to pass if they had the majority. In 2018, Democrats won the chamber from Republicans, who had more than 40 open seats going into the election, compared to 22 for Democrats. Quote, if you're a retiring Democrat, one of the elements you're thinking about is that it may be a bad year, end quote, said former Tennessee House Democrat Bart Gordon, who retired in 2010. Resume, quote, but you don't go through hard elections and all the fundraising and the time away from your family and just throw up your hands and say it's going to be a bad election. It's a combination of a variety of things, end quote. Democrats are counting on other factors going into 2022. They point to redistricting and a new peak in political polarizations in Congress, which culminated in the attacks on the Capitol on January 6th, as other reasons for the high rate of retirements, which is expected to grow further as more states finish their redistricting process. California's Grayson Napolitano, Georgia's Sanford Bishop, Tennessee's Steve Cohen, and New Jersey's Tom Malinowski are all being monitored for potential retirement. Age and time spent in Congress may also be a consideration. 11 of the 23 retiring members are over the age of 70 years old, and 11 of them have served in Congress for at least 15 years. It just talks about the redistricting, frustration with the political environment, blah, 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 all of that. Former President Trump won Kine's district by 4.7 points in 2020, and like Murphy, he was high on the target list for House Republicans, but Kine, who announced his retirement in July, has found his way to win in his rural Western Wisconsin district since he was first elected 26 years ago. While he was confident he could win re-election, he said he was running out of gas and was sick of the toxic political environment. So there's that. It just seems as though it's like a regular year. There's no special reasons for people retiring. It doesn't really seem like this year. It's just they might be scared somewhat that they're gonna lose, but they're also just like, I'm done. I've got to step down. It's time for me to just move on with life. Maybe instead help someone run for office or run for a different office. But they seem to be retiring for practically the same reasons. So we move on to the last article from the Daily Wire. It's a short, quick one for us right here. Title: How the Economy is Affecting Holiday Shoppers. And the article starts: As the holidays get closer, shoppers consider the most popular gifts of 2021, the shopping market in the United States, and how all of these are being impacted by the economy. Various sites and organizations released lists of top gifts, but an interesting place for shoppers to look is Google's Shopping Holiday 100, which was released last month. It predicts the most popular items of the year for the holiday season using Google searches. According to the Google searches, coffee makers, gaming devices, and fitness equipment were the top items this year, suggesting that people are continuing to spend more time at home. However, there are some signs that Americans are going to venture out and interact. Beauty products, perfume, and cologne were also popular searches, as well as some outdoor sports items. Colognes and perfumes trended higher this year than they have in the past, and in November, when the list was released, Google told NBC News that searches for best perfume have gone up in around the world by 40% in 2021. Google's list described 2021 as the year of the fragrance. Gaming has continued to be popular in previous years as it was this year too. The top gaming console was the Nintendo Switch OLED, but the Nintendo 64 and the Game Boy were also high up on the list, even though those are older gaming devices. Queries for wireless gaming headset increased by 100%, and Google searches for the phrase single player games have gone up 600% per NBC News. The timing of the searches is also an interesting factor, which gives some insight into the economic status of the country. The term Christmas gift ideas went up 30% from the middle of October to the last full week of October, perhaps indicating that people are still starting to look for gifts around that time. The supply chain crisis was already impacting many Americans at that point in time and was dominating the news. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg appeared to make light of this effect in the middle of October. In an interview on CNN, he was asked about product delays and said, quote, "I think there's always been two kinds of Christmas shoppers. There's the ones who always have their list completed by Halloween, and there's people like me who show up at the mall on Christmas Eve. If you're in that latter bucket, obviously there's going to be more challenges," end quote. Last week, the Commerce Department announced its advanced monthly sales for retails and food services in November. It showed that sales at retail shops and restaurants in the U.S. went up by 0.3% seasonally adjusted. Growth is expected, but this was lower than expected growth. The report also showed electronic store sales down 4.6% in November, and from the month prior, general merchandise sales were down also by 1.2%. Some industries were up significantly since last year. Food and drinking services were up around 37%, and clothing sales were up around 35%, possibly because people were leaving the house and returning to restaurants again. And that's the article. So I thought I'd give a little Christmas insight there. So it seems as though a lot of stay-at-home stuff is still popular. I know that video games are also very popular. They always will be, I think, from now on. In some form, technology will never be low on Christmas lists and for request by people for Christmas. But that concludes our Christmas Eve news. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your Friday and a wonderful Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for listening.